Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. Good morning to all of you, and a special greeting this morning to those who are here to celebrate World Marriage Sunday. We have many couples who are celebrating significant anniversaries this year, 25, 50 years, and all the way up to 65 and plus. So we're very grateful for your witness to the sacrament of marriage. As we know, marriage is one of the seven sacraments, which means it's one of the manifestations of the presence of Jesus Christ alive in our world today. Through your love for one another, through your family life, you witness to the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. He is not in the tomb. He is alive and present in your lives and in your marriages. We thank you for your witness and for being here with us today. And to all of you who are here as family members and visitors, those who are watching on television, those who are not able to be with us because of hospitalization, nursing homes, homebound, or imprisoned, we welcome you to be with us today. My sisters and brothers, let us now acknowledge our sins and so celebrate these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to one another and to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you intercede for us with your Father. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in the hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling place pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given to him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him, this God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath and make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Once again, greetings to all of you who are here present and those who are watching or listening. Today in the Gospel, we continue the Sermon on the Mount. 3 weeks ago, we heard the beautiful Beatitudes. Blessed, happy are those who are peacemakers. Happy are those who are pure of heart. Happy are those who mourn with those who mourn. Console those who are needing consoling. And happy are you when you're persecuted, for the kingdom of God is yours. And last Sunday we heard that living in this framework of Jesus' truth that he's come to bring us, we are salt and light. Salt to give flavor to our world and light in the darkness of humanity, which we are passing through in a dramatic way today. Today, Jesus continues that same discourse. And he speaks to us of the fact that he did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. He did not come to abolish what we understand as the teaching of the Old Testament. He himself was born into that tradition. He himself was raised in the home of Nazareth with the first Holy Family by that law and those prophets. But what he does tell us is he's come to fulfill it, to bring what is written to its fullest expression for the human person, to bring us to the fullness of life that is possible for us. Neither did Jesus come to take away our human dignity by simply giving us a few rules to follow. He came to bring to the fullness our human dignity by showing us the mystery and the truth of our ability to choose. That word, which is so misused in our society today as a source of freedom and liberation, that I can choose anything, Jesus brings to fulfillment and completion, helping us understand what it means to choose in freedom. We begin the Sunday readings this morning from the book of Sirach, who begins by saying, "If you choose to keep the commandments, they will save you. If you trust God, you shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man is life and death, good and evil. Whichever you choose will be given to you." Jesus came to bring the ability of the human person, of you and me, to choose, so that that choice will bring us life and freedom and happiness and peace. He did not come to give us a set of rules so that we have to be slave to those rules, but to choose what is good for life, to choose what will set us free, to choose what will bring us love. When we think about what it means to choose, I think we have to consider who is at the center of our life. You in marriage, those of you who are married, and those of you who are perhaps widows or widowers, or have even experienced the tragedy of divorce, you know that in that relationship, if you yourself are the center of all your choices, it's over. You cannot choose with yourself at the center of life, because all of those choices will ultimately be selfish. I, as a bishop, if I choose to do everything which makes me happy, me comfortable, my schedule, I lose. I lose the flock. Because I, as every servant and priest, you as married couples, are here for the other. To choose to serve the other person, not myself. If God is at the center of our lives, then we enter into the mystery of God in every situation, and we begin to see God's ultimate plan for us. We're able to see what is fire and water, what is good and evil. And according to the commandments of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, which is centered in love, everything is done out of love. A very simple example for us: several years ago, when I was a parochial vicar in a parish, a woman came to me and asked for some spiritual guidance for her family and her marriage. She just simply said, "It doesn't have meaning anymore." In other words, life becomes, and you'll not understand this at all, routine. We get up in the morning, we brush our hair, we shave if we're a man, and we brush our teeth, we go to work, we come home. And she said, life's just become a routine. And I simply said to her, when are you going to the grocery store next? She said, well, I have to go tomorrow. And I said, I'd like you to go, and every can of food that you put in your basket, or every piece of fruit, or standing in the line at the checkout, let every movement be an act of love for your family. Standing in the grocery line, which can be one of the most mundane things anyone ever does in life, but if you stand there because you love your husband, your wife, your children, your grandparents, if your being there is love for them, taking the focus off of you, you find life. 1 week later, she came back with a huge smile on her face and said, I've never felt so peaceful, so loving in my life, standing in the grocery line. And isn't that what we are here to celebrate today? If you choose to love, it will save you. If you choose to love the other person as you love yourself, you will be free. If you choose to love God above all things, and that's the journey of life, you will find peace and joy and happiness, and you will find the way to eternal life. For that reason, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish anything. I just came to bring it to fulfillment. You still have to go to get groceries, but it's the way we do it. It's how we do it. It's what we choose in those moments. St. Paul brings out a beautiful analogy for us when he says, what I speak in preaching to you based on what Jesus has taught us, it's a wisdom for those who are mature. And what does he mean by that? Many of us are still immature in certain aspects of our life. But it means the maturity of one who knows that choosing love is the fullness of the commandments. St. Paul's letters, his teaching, is addressed to those who are mature, who have made the choice that God is above all things, and to love my neighbor as myself is the fulfillment of the law. We live in a world, sisters and brothers, in which St. Paul did as well when he speaks of the human authorities, the human wisdom. Thank God we have governments and legislatures that can guide us through this world, trying to keep peace and order among peoples, but they do not supplant the mystery of God. No government anywhere can be held up so high that the laws that are created there undermine or replace the laws of God. Impossible. Because the things of this world pass away. You and I pass away. We all know that. Why put all of our heart into what is human at the cost of ignoring what is of God? We cannot ignore what God has given us in Jesus Christ as if what he says to us is an option. It is not an option, it's a choice. A choice to live, a choice to be free, a choice to be happy. And so Jesus at the end speaks to us in the gospel today about coming here, even today, before this altar. If you're coming here and you remember that someone else has something against you, you go and be reconciled. Now, what would the world tell us? If you're coming here and somebody offended you, well, you just wait till they wake up and they ask for your forgiveness. You see, that's centered on me. That's when I have put myself at the center of all activity and life. I'll wait till they call me, because I'm in the right. Jesus turns that around. That's the wisdom of the world, where you're at the center. What I tell you is, if someone else has offended you, even wrongly, you go and reconcile with them. Many of you may have heard the story, and I won't tell the whole story, but of the young man who was a seminarian that I met one day, who at work, because his manager got so angry with him because of his faith, and because he was studying to be a priest, this person was of another faith, he took a jar and slit his cheek. And he struggled with it, but he heard this gospel. If you're coming to the altar, if you're coming to praise God, if you're coming to say, God, I'm all yours, thank you for creating me and all I have. If you're coming to do that as we do today in the Eucharist, thank you for Jesus. Eucharist means thank you. And someone's holding something against us, we need to go be reconciled. So this young man wrote a letter to that gentleman and asked for forgiveness for whatever he did to him to cause his anger. 2 months later, the man arrived at his door at Christmas time with a gift and asked his forgiveness, because he said, I'm the one that wronged you. Now, who was free? Who experienced the freedom and the joy of being at peace? Who chose the right path? Thank God the other gentleman also understood that his freedom would be in asking forgiveness as well. But that doesn't always happen. And so we ask ourselves today, how are we arriving here today? Is our heart filled with thanksgiving for life, for joy, for our families, for our husband, our wife? Or are we somehow in a state of self-pity? Why me? Why does everything happen to me? Poor me? Are we here with a bit of anger because of something that may have happened somewhere along the line, even today? Are we here with jealousy or hatred or envy? Go be reconciled. Choose to change that by loving the other person who may have caused this. That's what Jesus is saying. Where the old said that you are to ignore those who offend you, Jesus says, I bring it to a new level. Be reconciled with those who have hurt you. Forgive and love even your enemy. It's a new standard, sisters and brothers, that we are called to live today. It's a mysterious standard of life. It's a mysterious truth, and the only truth that will bring us happiness, not only now, but in the future. I often think of my friend, and I don't even remember who she is, standing in the line of that grocery store. She, in many ways, I hope, has continued that. And after so many years, how free a person can be by choosing that every action, every thought is for love. Because that's what Jesus taught us. And that's what Jesus showed us, proved to us, as he hung upon the cross, not complaining, not angry, but even saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Into your hands I commend my spirit. To those of you who are celebrating these beautiful anniversaries today and throughout the year, thank you for your witness, because I'm sure in many, many ways, because of those years that are under your belts, you've put the other first. Continue doing so in all of us. If we continue to put God first and to love our neighbor as ourselves, thinking less of ourselves, we will really find the beauty of who I am, who you are. May the Eucharist today enrich our lives with the desire to love God and to love our neighbor. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear friends, grateful for the goodness of our loving Father, we now offer these prayers.
For our leaders of the church, that they may be blessed with the grace needed to continue teaching us by word and example how to follow God's laws. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For world leaders, that they may be governed with integrity and to strive to meet the needs of all the people, including those most vulnerable. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the terminally ill, that they may experience God's love for them through the compassionate care of medical professionals and other caregivers. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all married couples, that they will recommit themselves to further prayer so as to grow in greater love and holiness, and that their lives will be models of the love between Christ and his church. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For parents in our parish, that they may support one another as they strive to pass along the teachings of Jesus to their children. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Special blessings upon those who celebrate their birthday, in a special way for Jim Devlin and Diana Gonzalez. May they be blessed during this upcoming year. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those who have died in a special way, Laura Pugh, Frank Garza Jr., Luisa Garza, Francisco Garza Sr., Robert E. Hagelin Jr., and any members of our families or friends, that they might enjoy perfect happiness and peace in heaven. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those intentions we offer from the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to answer our prayers according to your gracious will, and give us the courage to accept your answer. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please join in singing from the hymnal number 697, For the Beauty of the Earth, verse 1 and 4.
sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May this oblation, O Lord, we pray, cleanse and renew us, and may it become for those who do your will the source of eternal reward. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by his birth, he brought renewal to humanity's fallen state, and by his suffering, canceled our sins. By his rising from the dead, he has opened the way to eternal life. And by ascending to you, O Father, he has unlocked the gates of heaven. And so, with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive
Hello,
us our trespasses.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham,
as we forgive
rector
those
of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.